Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
So I want to jump into this series. This is very personal to me. I feel like I've lived through this. This is a part of my testimony of just overcoming this struggle, navigating this. But I want to talk about the topic that I think all of us, can I just be as bold to say, all of us attempt to live with a glass house, hiding the parts of us that we don't want others to see. I think all of us in some way attempt to project to others an image that may not be fully true. It's a curated image. It's, man, my marriage is great. Man, my family's great. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm doing good today. Everything's great. And we attempt to project maybe half-truths, but not, it's not fully true. And we attempt to go, no, everything's great in my life, but our marriage, is it really great? We attempt to go, man, my kids are great. I got the honor roll sticker on my bumper sticker, but it's like, how are we really parenting? And we promote the vacation on our social media, and but you actually charged it to your credit. You're just living on debt. And your house poor. And you bought the car that you couldn't afford to look better and feel better about yourself. And let me prove it to you. How many of you overclean your house before someone comes over? Come on, somebody. Be honest up in here. You're in church. You can't lie. You act like the people come over like, oh, I wasn't expecting you. I didn't even know you guys are coming. It's amazing. This is just what my house looks like all the time. Nah, you be over. That's the best your house has looked since the day you moved in. But you just want to project like it's all put together. But you got that one room that no one could open the door of because everything's just crammed in there. It's under the bed. It's hidden under. You're hiding it in the. Hey, don't go to the basement. See, we're projecting. Okay, let me prove it to you. How many of you just take one photo and post it on Instagram? Y'all be taking 100 photos, evaluate, did I get the right side, is the right angles, the right lighting, hold the camera up a little higher for me, you know, because I need that, you know, that good shadow on my, and then you add a filter. Some of these filters nowadays, it's like you're not even yourself anymore. You might as well just AI the image because it's a fake photo at this point. You're trying to project. We're projecting. I got some numbers I want to read, and some of these things just really hit me. As I've been studying, catch some of these numbers. It says that Gen Z reported 83% feel pressure from social media to appear perfect. 83% feel pressure to appear, not, they don't feel pressure to be better or to they're not saying it's help. No, they're saying I feel pressure just to project perfection. I got to look better than everyone else. I got to keep up with everyone else. I need that new hoodie. I need that new lunch pail. I need that new lunch bag. I got to go to the concert because if I didn't go to the concert and they went to the concert, they'll know I didn't go and I got to get to that part. And I just got to do all this stuff. I feel pressure to look perfect. Catch this. 48% of teens today in 2025 reported a negative effect on self-image from social media. Catch up. Almost 50%, nearly half of teenagers today say social media makes me feel bad about my self-image. It's negative for me. It's bad for me. And yet some of us parents, we're not even aware. We're not even engaged. We haven't even created guardrails or awareness or understanding to how to make sure that we're fighting against the cultural pressures that our children are fighting for. It's this curated image, this fake life that we're projecting. Okay, catch this. This is the one that hit me. Research says 70% of people experience imposter syndrome today. with the highest rates in people that attend church because of spiritual performance pressures. What? 70% of us are feeling imposter syndrome. That means like, if you really knew who I was, you know I shouldn't be here. I feel like a fake. I feel like a fraud. I feel like I'm an imposter. The life that I'm trying to live, the job that I have, I'm trying to project, but I don't really feel like I'm being authentic. This really isn't me. And if you only knew, I'm just faking it. And the highest rates are for people that attend church because of the pressures from spiritual performances. That's absurd to me. That's not why we're here. Jesus didn't die to establish the ecclesia, the church, so that we could gather, so we could just be worse than the world. Come to me so I can add burdens. Put that on a billboard and see if the church grows. Come to our church so you can fake a good marriage. You wouldn't go to that church? Come to our church so you can act perfect. And yet, studies are saying that more people in church feel an imposter syndrome than anywhere else. Because we're creating these facades, these glass houses that says, look it, you can see me, I look so perfect, but there's all this stuff in the basement that no one knows about. There's that hidden closet that no one knows about. There's that hidden addiction that no one knows about. There's that hidden gambling that no one knows about. There's that pornography that no one knows about. There's that anger that I keep undercover. There's that jealousy that I don't try to talk about. There's that, and we just try to fake it, and that's not why Jesus came. As a son and a daughter of God, as a Christian, as a Jesus follower, as a Jesus person, your marriage should not be worse this year than it was last year. Your kids, your parenting shouldn't be worse. The pressures on life shouldn't be growing. The things that you hide shouldn't be growing. The guilt that you carry shouldn't be growing. You should be growing in Jesus, not finding more ways to hide from Jesus. That's why we're starting, you know, these classes on Wednesday, the parenting class, the marriage class. I want to make sure that every single person that calls Christian Faith Center their home church, their marriage is getting better. Their parenting gets better. Their finances get better. Like, I don't just want you here on a Sunday to fill a seat. That doesn't make me feel good. Like, oh, look at how many people attended. I want to make sure that when you get to heaven, you took steps to looking more like Jesus every day. I don't need this fake spiritual facade. We actually need the fruits of the Spirit growing in your life. I want you to love more, love deeper, walk with more freedom, have more joy, have more abundance, have more prosperity, love your spouse more, lead your children better. Like, we want actual health, not just a glass house. I'm really stirred up because this... Wusa, Selah. Christians shouldn't be the best at hiding. We shouldn't be the best at, I'm doing good. When in all actuality, we argued with our spouse on the way to church. We shouldn't be acting like we're all put together when you're sitting there with the hangover right now. We got to be open. We got to be honest. We got to come to Jesus and say, you're the physician, you're the healer, you're my refuge. And I didn't come to church to play church. I came to church to worship Jesus, to connect with Jesus, to grow in Jesus, to grow in my faith, to grow as a husband, as a spouse, as a father. Like, this isn't just for... If you come to church and you fake that you're okay, it's like going to the hospital and acting like you're not sick. Who in their right mind would go to the hospital and when the doctor walked in the room being like, I'm good. I'm like super healthy. Look at how healthy I am. I'm like the healthiest person you've ever seen. Doctor's like, why are you here? Why did you come? Like, do you need help or not? Nope, I'm perfect. I just wanted to show off how healthy I am. And sometimes we come to church and we're like, we're blessed. Blessed and highly favored. What's up, brother? Yeah, I'm doing good. Just, I read like 38 Proverbs this morning. Like, there's not 38 Proverbs. There's not even that many Proverbs. Well, I read them all. Plus, I found some new ones. This, you know, they just uncovered them. New scroll. I got it. I'm super spiritual. Like, we just play games sometimes in church. And so I want to dig into the, I want to actually speak to you. Not to the facade. Not to the glass house. Not to the image. Now see, I think the glass house isn't inherently bad or evil because many of us project what we wish we had. That's not bad. Because I think a lot of us project good marriages because we want a good marriage. And we project abundance because God has called us to walk in abundance. And we act like we got it all together when we're parenting because God has called you to be a great father and he's equipped you to be a great mother. He formed you and created you to be just that. Do you know that when he created you, he actually blessed you and endowed you with everything you need to be a great parent? So it's in you, but sometimes we don't know how to pull it out of us. So we just project that we're good even though we're falling apart. So often the things that we project, the glass house that we attempt to show off, that is the life God wants for you. But just because it's what you want doesn't mean it's what you have. And the gap between what you're projecting and what's real, that gap in truth often is eroding us. And it's killing us. And we're attempting to carry that weight on a daily basis. And you weren't created to carry that. And that gap in truth, that gap in reality between what you project and what you actually are, that's the place that the devil lives. And he adds guilt and condemnation, and he speaks to that every day. If only they knew who you were. If only they knew what you've done. If only they knew the issues that you carry. And that's and you keep giving the devil ammo because you show up, I'm good, I'm blessed, I'm healthy, we're good. And then you don't go to the marriage class because, oh, God forbid someone know that we need help in our marriage. And you don't take the finance class because, God forbid that someone find out that you gambled yourself into debt. And you don't go to the parenting class because you're so prideful as a man that you can't actually seek wisdom to raise your children the way God's called you to raise them. And you can't be honest with your spouse because you got to be perfect and put together and controlled and no, we got to let that stuff out so that we could bring healing to the areas God wants access to. It's a dangerous place to live when everything is okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. No, we got to live authentic. We have to live honest. We have to bring that gap between what we project and who we are together. Now hear me, I'm not saying you gotta live authentically you if your authentic self is full of sin. I'm not up here co-signing I was born with this desire. Yeah, all of us are born with desires that are sinful that we gotta lay at the feet of the cross. Just because you were born with that doesn't mean that's godly. Just because you were born with it doesn't give you the right to follow it. So I'm not saying be your authentic self, whatever you feel is right. No, what I'm saying is you have to bring that projection and your reality together. Also, I want to deal with an issue and then I'm going to get back on. Some of us have glass houses that just look like total chaos. Like you let everyone see your mess. And the struggle with that is you're attempting to make sure everyone sees your issues so you could keep your victim mentality. I love the ooze. Oh. It is encouraging. Some of us, we overuse the mess to co-sign our reasons for not amounting to anything. I'm a victim. If you just knew what I'd gone through, if you knew how I lived, if you knew the abuse I had, if you knew single parent and I didn't have the education, and I don't have the means and I was never handed anything and I was never helped. And you use the mess and you show off your mess and you show off just how bad you are and how bad life is and how bad you've had it and how much people hate you and what you've gone through. And you're showing off the issues. I'm a victim and I'll never amount. If that's true, let's walk down that road for a minute. You've gone through it all the chaos, all the pain, all the hurt. You're telling me today that what you've gone through is too much for Jesus to help. Is that what you're trying to tell me? For 2,000 years, Jesus' grace has been enough, but he finally met his match in your victim mentality. You finally lived a life that's so bad, even Jesus can't bless. Even Jesus can't heal you. That's not true, but many of us think that way. And you would never say, oh, you're right, Jesus. But you live your life showing off. You, every time someone's willing to listen, you want to tell them why it's so bad for you. You would rather give up a blessing so that you don't have to give up your victim's card. You'd rather pass on what God has for you to make sure that you could still play the victim. Still, woe is me. I'm here to tell you today that maybe you have gone through a lot. And I think there's some people that really have gone through some tragic stories. And I'm not here to in any way minimize or diminish that or speak to that. I could even understand what you've gone through. What I am saying is Jesus can, and he and his grace is enough for you. He can still heal. He can still bless. Can I even encourage you that feel like sometimes you just show off the issues of your life to show off why you can't overcome? Because you turn that script around today and say, I'm gonna start showing people that if God can do it in my life, he could do it in your life. Because if I told you my story, and if I told you my hurts, and if I told you my pains, and if I actually told you what I went through, you would have no choice but to say his grace is enough. Because if he could use you, clearly he could use someone like me. Instead of holding so tightly to your pains, what if you held tightly to Jesus still loves and his grace is still enough? The Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Maybe your testimony can bring healing to someone else. When you stop holding on to your past and start holding on to your testimony, maybe then Jesus starts to unlock just what he's called you and your life to do. This issue has been around for a long time for us. This glass house energy, this projection energy, this if I'm not perfect, I hide energy. I think it might be our knee-jerk reaction to every time we make a mistake, every time we sin, every time we feel we come short, our response is to hide it. I'll prove it to you. In Genesis 3, they're going to throw it on the screens for us. The very first two humans to ever exist, Adam and Eve, they eat of the fruit, and this is what happens. After they eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, it says this. Then their eyes were both opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. They made a mistake. They ate of the tree that God said, hey, by the way, I made everything for you. The whole planet is yours, but would you mind not eating that tree? It seems pretty easy, but let's be honest, all of us would have been tempted in that moment. We're like, what about that tree? Why can't, you know? It's like I said a few weeks ago, it's like touching the wall with wet paint. Little sign, don't touch, wet, and you're like, you all do it. If you're willing to touch the paint, you would have ate that fruit. I'm just telling you. They eat of the fruit, and then what do? They hide. How come that's our first response? Hide. Cover. Lie. Excuse it. Minimize it. Oh, that didn't happen. I didn't do that. That's not a real issue. I don't really have a gambling issue. I just like sports. I just like the restaurant at the casino. I've heard that a few times. Like, I don't think it's that good. It can't be that good, right? I don't have a real issue. You hide it, you cover it. Yeah, that's what the first two humans did. They made a mistake, and instead of going to Jesus and being like, okay, we messed up. We ate that fruit. I don't know what to do with it now. I don't know what we should do. They hid. Also, they didn't think this plan through. Like they were hiding from God in the garden he made. Were they like, he'll never find us here. We're in the bushes. He's not gonna notice. What were they thinking was gonna happen? And what do you think is going to happen every time you try to hide that porn addiction? What do you think is going to happen when you try to hide that gambling? What do you think is going to happen when you try to hide the way you speak to your wife in public? What do you think is going to happen when you hide whatever your struggle is, your drinking, your anger, your pride? What do you think is going to happen when you attempt to just cover it up? That's what so many of us do. Honestly, I've had three kids. None of them have just come and profess, I made a mistake, Dad. Messed up at school. I cheated. No. It's like, hey, Noah, did you hit your brother? Nope. Okay, so who put that handprint on his back? Not me. Okay, it was the two of you in the room. I heard you go smack, and then I heard him run out crying. I'm going to take a shot in the dark and think it's you. Not me, Dad. For sure I didn't hit him. Who did? I don't know. There's no one else here, Nora. Did I? Maybe. You're blaming me now. You think I hit him? I don't know. Did you, Dad? I'm like, get that sin out of here. How is that so natural for us? We hide, we lie, we cover. The first two humans did it. I'm not saying like only some of us. We all struggle with this. But here's what I want you to catch in this story, because you struggle with it now, but let me show you why you don't need to. God instantly responds to them with, who told you? Who told you you're naked? Who told you you messed up? Who told you? Let me put that into modern day terms. Where did you get that truth from? Where did you get that truth from? I'm gay. Where'd that truth come from? I'm an issue. I'm a failure. No one loves me. I struggle. I'll never overcome. I'm always sick. Where did you get that truth from? I don't know my gender. I don't know who I'm. I don't know this. Where did you get that truth? Who told you that? Well, this girl, the school, the YouTube, the Insta, the filter. I look at myself and I look at this model and I just see the difference and I don't think I'm beautiful. I don't think anyone will love me. Who told you that? As a father, when I look at my little girls, if they start comparing themselves, like, I don't know if I'm pretty, chick, who told you that? Who told you that you're not gorgeous? Who told you that you're not lovable? Who told you that you're not just perfect? I want to know where that thought came from, because you're holding it as truth, and I want to know where you get your truth from. God is so passionate and he's so jealous for you that when you start getting ideas and truths from other sources but from him, he gets pretty frustrated. He gets pretty upset. He gets pretty zealous. It says your God is a jealous God. Why? Because he's wondering who told you to run from him. Who told you to hide from me? Who told you that I was going to hate you? Who told you I'd be angry? Who told you I wasn't a loving God? Like, who told you? Who told you that? I'm a failure. Who told you that? And then it goes on in the story, and it says that God sacrificed an animal and made clothes out of it for Adam and Eve. First sacrifice ever. God kills an animal, makes clothes. Low-key, I bet those were bad clothes. Like, just God designing all of a sudden, that's a fire. It's like a fire outfit. That has nothing to do with my message, and it probably messes up my flow, but that just the thought of that would be awesome. I would rock that like every Sunday. Like, there's Caleb in his jacket again. I'm like, yeah, God made this. It's a fire jacket. He makes a sacrifice. He covers Adam and Eve, and he pulls them back into relationship. The next time you make a mistake, the next time you fail, don't run to the nearest bush to hide in. Go back to the last sacrifice that God made for you. What you need to do, church, is go back to the sacrifice that Jesus made, because it's that sacrifice that's called to cover you. Stop covering yourself in shame. Stop covering yourself in lies. Stop covering yourself in excuses. Stop covering yourself as a victim. Stop covering yourself in the basement. Stop hiding from others and start running to Jesus, because it's the sacrifice that he made that covers you. Stop running and living in shame and go, Jesus, you are the one that covers me. You're the one that heals me. You're the one that restores me. We got to find ourselves back in the presence of Jesus. Who told you to run? Who told you to hide? It's not from God. In Matthew 23, they're going to throw it on the screen for us. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Woe. Jesus was harsh on Pharisees. That religious group, that churchy group, that group that's all about works and, man, Jesus was harsh. Woe to you, scribes, you hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. Woe to you, Pharisees. You're hypocrites. You wash the outside of the cup, but not. Have you ever had a protein bottle that you forgot in the back of your car for like a week? I'm sorry, no, none of you? You know what I'm talking about, where you have that protein bottle? Some of y'all could use a little more protein in your life, but I'm not here to throw rocks. You know what I'm talking about? You got protein shake, you crush on the way to the gym, and then you forget the bottle in your backseat, and a week goes by and you find it, you're like, oh, Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, I made a mistake. And that moment of opening it, you're like, oh, I think something died. Should we just throw it away and buy a new one? Like, at that point, you're like, I think I just need a new one. I'm not opening that. I don't want to find out what's on the inside there. You see, Jesus is saying, you wash the outside of the cup, but the inside stays bad. What would I do if I just got my protein, crushed the gym, came home, rinsed the outside, dried it off, put it back in the cupboard? I'm like, Chris is gonna love that in a few days. Like, she's like, that's hers next. She just opens it and, you know, passes out in the kitchen. Like, Jesus. Just. How many of us come to church? What's up, brother? I'm doing good. I'm blessed. Good to go. Put it back on the shelf. Never exposing, having honesty, having vulnerability, saying, God, would you do a deep work in me? Would you touch the areas in my life that I try to hide from everyone else? Instead of just cleaning the outside of the cup, God, would you heal the inside? I don't just want to look like I have a good marriage. I want a real healthy marriage. I don't just want my kids to act right when I'm dropping them off at Kids Zone. I actually want godly children. I don't just want to project that I have all these vacations and a good car, and I actually want to have such a life of blessing that I bless others, that I empower others, that I'm a legacy person that builds the church and builds what you're. I don't just want to project that I'm doing good. And you know the thing about cleaning the inside of a cup? That when you clean the inside, the outside accidentally gets washed. Like, you know, if I got soap in here and a brush and I'm cleaning the inside of it, where does the soap go? It just overflows. And then when I rinse it out and I wash it and dry, it's almost like if I wash the inside, the outside's just a benefit. It's almost like if God gets your heart, the rest of you accidentally gets better. It's almost like other people will see God's blessing on your life, not because you're pushing that projection or facade, but because he actually got to the root of it. And when the root gets healthy, the fruit just starts to grow. Too many of us have such unhealthy roots, that the only fruit we produce is when we hang ourselves. We just making people look like we're fruitful. Look at us. We're just in debt. You're not blessed, you're in debt. You're not free, you're addicted. You don't love your wife, you just project it. And so you're attempting to hang your own fruit as opposed to grow it yourself. Trying to look good, trying to look, you're just curating that post to make sure that you look great on Instagram and you make the right posts and you post the right thing so you look noble and you're like, oh, look, I stand for this group and I stand for these people. Have you ever actually paid a price to help someone, or you just post what you're about so you look noble? In our world today, so much of what we do is just for projections. But when you clean the inside of the cup, it instantly washes the outside of the cup. Jesus said, they speak a good game. Their lips follow me, but their hearts are far from me. Their lips, they give me lip service. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They talk a good game. They act, they say the right things. Oh, I love Jesus. I'm doing good. Marriage is great. We're busy around here, you know, just chaos. Just, you know, that summer flow, you know, the back in the school, everything's going, you know, sports, man. Yeah, it's all the right jargon. But your heart is far from him. Saying the right things, but Jesus never came looking for lip service. He came for people's hearts. He wasn't looking for the person that could say the perfect, eloquent speech. He wanted someone's heart to follow after him. You want to know something, parents? The reason we keep losing our generations is because we have Christians that have lip service but not heart service. And when we have children that grow up in homes that only had lip service but no heart service, we're losing the generation that grew up in that home. Because we can't say we follow Jesus with our mouth, but not with our heart. And our kids feel that they see through it. They go, there's nothing here. There's no substance. This isn't real. This is just a facade. This is just a game. Why should I play the game if it doesn't actually mean anything? Why take time off on a Sunday? Why go through the motions? Why be that imposter that it's harder to live a life as a Christian if the whole thing's fake anyway? I'd rather go party. I'd rather go live my life. I'd rather go find another group and another community that at least is honest. Because we honor with our lips, but our hearts are far. And Jesus did not come looking for lip service. He goes, I'm here for your hearts. That's why he said, I give you a new command. The old command said, if you murder, it's a sin. I say if you do it in your heart, it's a sin. Remember, people are like, oh my goodness, so I can't even look lustfully at a woman anymore? He's like, yeah, you can't even look lustfully at a woman anymore. You can't, it's in your heart. See, he wants your heart, not just the actions. That's the gap, that's the break. So many of us are like, I'm perfect, I've never made a mistake. But would you if you could? Would you if you could? Do you grieve when life is lost? Well, it depends on who. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. So we say things, but do we live it? Is it who we are? Or is it just part of the projection? Hey, Ben, come on to the stage with me. Let's close this. In Matthew 11:29, I want to read this whole verse. Can you guys throw this up for me? It says, are you tired? Are you tired? Think about that. Think about Jesus just saying this to you. Are you tired? Are you tired of faking it? Are you tired of going through the motions? Another week. It's another Monday. It's another meeting. It's another thing. And you're just... It's like a hamster wheel. You're just living life and you're just trying to keep up. It's like you're just treading water, but it's just exhausting. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Is this, if it's just this thing exhausting? I'm just trying to look good, trying to act like a Christian, trying to be a Christian, trying to keep the thing going. Are you tired of that? Are you exhausted from this? Here, you keep that scripture up for me, guys, but can I just, as a pastor, following Jesus isn't exhausting. So if you're getting exhausted trying to be a Christian, it's because you're not following Jesus. I hear this in one of my, can I be honest? Don't tweet this or I'm gonna get canceled by my peers, but one of the things that I hate the most is hearing pastors say, I had burnout in ministry. I hate that. You wanna know why? Because the Holy Spirit will never lead you to burnout. So if you're burnt out, that means you must have stopped following. Loving you, shepherding this church will never burn me out as long as I'm following Jesus. Are you burnt out on religion? This isn't a try harder thing. This isn't a try harder thing. Are you burnt out? Are you tired? Just trying so hard to look right. I'm trying so hard to project. I'm trying so hard to look better than the neighbors and better than this and look good for my that. But honestly, I'm just tired. You tired? Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Jesus didn't create you to burden you. Think about it. He formed you in your mother's womb. He created this whole universe. He created humanity. He didn't create you to wear you out. He created you to love you. And if you're being worn out, you're not doing it the way he intended for you to do it. You worn out? Are you tired? Is this religion thing wearing you out? Come to me, he says. Get away with me. He says, walk with me and work with me. Walk with me and work with me. Jesus wants to be in your leisure time. He wants to be in your work time. Come with me. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Here's what I want you to catch today. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. There's a grace to the life that God has for you. There's a grace. There's a grace to it. There's a grace in your marriage. You have been given a grace to love that wife that God gave you like no other human on the planet. There's a grace to parent your children. I'm the first to attest to this. Other kids stress me out. Come on, somebody. Anyone else in here, the other kids, you're like, my goodness. My kids, graced. Grace. I love their problems. I love them. Oh my God, I love being a dad. When my kids have a problem, me. Let me solve it. I'm here for you. Come to dad. Other kids have problems? Other kids have dirty noses? It's my sister laughing. I don't got a grace. When my kids scratch their knee, let's do this. Have a night issue? Wake me up. I'm not tired. I'm here. I got a grace. I got a grace for you. People call the church, I need to talk to a pastor. I got a grace. teaching the weight. 2 weeks ago, our nation is rocked. People say, what are you gonna say? I got a grace. God, give me the words. I don't shy away from the block because it's my grace. It's not your grace, it's my grace. But in your life, the company you're called to run, the wife that you're in covenant with, the children God trusted to you, the people you're called to influence, the people you're called to love, the places you're called to go, there's a rhythm of grace for you. And it doesn't exhaust you. And it doesn't wear you out. And it's not a burden. Because you were called not to do it on your own, but to do it with Jesus. You see, and that's why the devil was trying to make sure that Adam and Eve ran from God. Because they knew that the rhythm of their grace was in the relationship with God. And the second he can pull them out of that relationship and getting them to hide, all of a sudden it's self-effort. And that's exhausting and that's taxing. And you can't do that on your own. But if you could do it with Jesus, there is a grace to the life that he has for you. Are you tired? Stop hiding. Are you worn out? Stop covering. Can you just not keep up with this religious game? Then stop playing. Put it down and come to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm done hiding. I'm done covering. I'm done with this facade and this curated image that I've just so tirelessly invested so much of my focus on. I'm done playing this game and I'm looking to you. I'm done with this glass house. I don't even care what people think of me anymore. I'm just looking at what you think. Let me be so clean on the inside that the outside just accidentally gets clean too.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.